New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, so Farrell on the bench with you, 844 toll free, 843-6879 is the number. So Mafia's with me. Mafia, do you, all right, look, if they're not going to admit that that's Jerry West on that logo, which I've heard that before, that it's not Jerry West, but I think everyone thinks it's Jerry West. And, but, you know, if it's not Jerry West, in other words, if they're truly saying that it's not, then I don't think that there's any reason to not change it, because I thought the only thing that would matter is if it was offending Jerry West. I mean, why would you take it away from Jerry West no matter what? It just, if it's been that way forever, just leave it the same. But if there's no Jerry West involved and he has nothing to do with it, like he even said, make it Michael Jordan or something years ago, then now I'm sure he wouldn't have a problem with it if they made it Kobe Bryant. Do you think that, A, do you think it's Jerry West? And B, do you think they should change it to Kobe Bryant?
I don't know. That's always the thing about, you know, people saying it's Jerry West. I don't know if it is or not. I'm not that, you know, into the detail to look at it and be like, well, you know, exactly, I can match this picture up, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me who it is. I mean, but if you're going to do that, if, you know, Kyrie's making this big statement about how it's built by black players, well, then the league was built by Michael Jordan. It wasn't built by Kobe. Kobe was incredible. Not take anything away from Kobe. He is one of the greatest ever to play that game. But that league was, you know, actually, it's even more so built by, you know, Larry and Magic. Those were the two that reignited the league, right? They're on tape delay before that. People weren't caring about the NBA Finals or the NBA. Those two came in, started that rivalry, and that really got it going. And then after them, Michael Jordan took it to even bigger heights worldwide with the, you know, the Olympic team and Nike and his Jumpman logo and all that. So, you know, while Kobe was incredible, if you're going to talk about, well, it should be changed to an African-American player because that's who really built this league, then I would say it should be either Magic or Michael and not just jump to Kobe just because he passed away recently.
Do you think, because he said black kings built the league, and that's what Kyrie Irving said. That's pretty, you know, listen, I don't deny that, and I always say it's a black players league. It really is. Now, I think now it is. I think in this era that we're in right now, let's say, you know, you could go back to, I think in the 90s from the, you know, in my opinion, in the 90s forward till now, it's, you know, majorly black in terms of the players. And I think that back in the day, in its inception and its early years, I think the league, you know, had tons of white players in it. And I think that there's no denying the greatness of the blacks that play in the league over this, end of the century, beginning of the century, you end in the 90s, whatever, you go into the new century, and it's been, I think, primarily a black league. I without a doubt, I wouldn't argue with that. But I guess I would argue, and I'll elaborate on this in a second. We welcome in our radio affiliates everywhere, Sirius XM, Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana, do you wanna, Sports Map Radio Network, and Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench. Mafia's with me tonight. So we're talking about the league, the logo. Kyrie wants it changed to Kobe Bryant, the NBA logo. Many believe it's Jerry West all these years. The league says it's not Jerry West. Jerry West has no problem with them changing it. He wanted years ago to change it to Michael Jordan. I'm sure he probably, my guess is, if he said that then, he probably doesn't care if they change it now. Look, you could argue... You could sit here and argue that, prior to the, even in the 80s, but you go back into the 60s and 70s and 80s in the NBA, I mean, without a doubt, there was a ton of white players, right? That you could argue that the league was built on with white players, believe it or not. And then it was taken over because of, their great skill and athleticism by the blacks. I think you could argue that. I think people could argue that from its inception, it was clearly a lot of whites, and then it became a black league. And I think now the majority of players are black, but I think ignoring the white end of it. I think ignoring that, which is for me, when I see Kyrie saying that, it sounds to me like with that statement, Black Kings built the league. It's like what I hear is that the blacks are all that matter in the league. And that's always the way it's been. And I'm sorry, but that's just not true. That's just not accurate at all.
Your search is over.
You found it.
What you've been looking for.
The definitive culmination of the state of the art of sports talk.
This
is the Winning Edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Mafia. It sounded like Striper. Anyway, Steel Panther. Anyway, Pharrell with you. So here's the deal. I'm all inclusive. Like, Mafia loves going to those all inclusive resorts and you could just all you can drink. He's like, let's go. But I'm all inclusive with everything, to be honest with you. And I mean, bottom line is, it's reality. Like, as I grew up, I got older, I adapted to everything. I adapted to all the changes. You know, I'm 55. When I was a kid, there was none of this, you know, there really wasn't. I mean, there was nothing inclusive at all. Everybody was separate. Everybody was in their own cliques. Gay, otherwise, transgender, all the stuff, different races, everybody kind of was underground and hid their whatever their ways and means. It wasn't public. It just wasn't, and that's the reality of it, right? I mean, it really was. So as I got older, I knew, and Mafia knows this is true, I've always, like, we play a lot of ball together. And I've always said on the show, like, I'm not having any white guys on my team. I'm like, I'm all for I'm all for the brothers. In fact, my game evolved from playing with all the rich white, you know what, inject swearing here. P is started with a P, okay? And think of, you know, I don't even want to go there. You can figure it out what I'm saying. I play with all these crybabies. I play with, you know, whiners and crybabies. And I just, you know, I'd had enough of that. I really, honestly, Mafia knows it's true. And then I started playing with the brothers, and that was it. Like, they're better, they're faster, the game's better, they make you a better player, they're better at it. I know a lot of great white players that I play with that are good ball players, for sure. I know guys that can fill it up, all races. Mafia, we played with Asian dudes that are kick-ass at basketball. We've played the blacks, the whites, and everything. And, you know, what I've – and I kind of broke away from Mafia. He played. He won a bunch of championships with me and our teammates. And it was great and everything. And it just kind of ended because of COVID and everything else. But I kept balling, right? Like, long after – I was playing a lot more than you. At some point in there, like, you were playing – on weekends still and playing in the league still. And then when, I guess what, the COVID hit, that was the last time we played together. Is that about the gist of it?
Yeah. Once I shut the gym down, I just stopped.
Yeah. And then I kept playing, and I only played in the hood. That was it. And I played outdoors all through the summer into the fall. And then I started playing indoors, and I played underground indoors because it got, you know, real sketchy with the COVID. Everybody was freaking out, and you couldn't play anywhere, and you weren't allowed to. It was against the law and everything else. Once it became like against the law, then I became Billy the Kid again, Mafia. I had to go rogue, and I had to play underground. But my point of all of this is that I think the league's black now, and it's better for it. I think the basketball is better. I think they're better players. I think there's some really good white players in the league. Obviously, there's a few. And like I said, there's a few. But I think the best players are the brothers, and it is what it is. But I don't think that I don't agree with saying that it was built. I think it's being run, and I think it's because it's successful and worth billions is because of the brothers. I think the blacks have made it the best it's ever been. I think it's never been better, never been stronger. The ball, the business, the money they make, everything about it's better. So they've done a great job with that. But I don't believe that it was I think everyone helped build the league. Fair enough? Like, I just – the league used to be white, and then it – became black. And the bottom line is, I think the blacks have done a way better job of running it. And I think that they're way more exciting and the game's better for it. And I mean that, like, completely. But I don't know about saying that the other part of it never existed, right? The old school, back in the day, Bob Cousy. You know what I mean? Like, I could go on and on. Don't get me started. All I know is that, listen, when I went to the Hall of Fame, right, go there and spend 12 hours and then talk to me about how it was built, you know, by kings, the blacks, or whatever he said about building it. They're the kings. That's great. But, you know, that's not what it was built by. It's now, because of it, it seems that that's the case. I think that that's pretty clear who's running it now. It's pretty clear who the kings are now. And it's pretty clear who the king is now, right? We all know that, you know, like I said, they're on national television every single time they get out of bed, their games, because of one reason, LeBron James. I mean, I guess I could, like, I think Anthony Davis is a great player, Mafia. I think he's great. But I'm not stopping everything I'm doing. I'm not blowing off my hot wife or my kids or playing ball with you. You know I'd play ball with you before I'd watch Anthony Davis play basketball. I think Anthony Davis is great. There's no doubt he's great. But I still don't give a rat's ass about him. I'm being honest. There's only one reason to watch the Lakers. It's LeBron James.
Right. AD wasn't winning before LeBron. Like,
he didn't matter until he got in bed with LeBron. Right? So, but listen, I think the league's awesome just the way it is. If they want to change it to Kobe and make sure everybody knows it's Kobe, I think it'd be a cool thing because I think everybody misses Kobe so much. Mafia knows I miss him. I buy all his shoes. I transcend our relationship via the sneaker, Mafia, as you know. Like, I've been eyeing those Potro, whatever, sixes, those. They look like they're burgundy snakeskin Mamba looking things. They're badass. Have you seen those? Mafia, he's got ones out that are like bright green. He's got everything going. I have orange ones. I have every color. I have all of his shoes. I love them. But I went to try to find the purple ones. And I live in New York. And I couldn't find the purple ones. Not yet, anyway. I suppose I could order them online. But they're expensive as all Shaq.
Yeah, just give them a mortgage payment. You can get them.
Yeah, they're like a mortgage payment. I actually, I think I pretty much set a limit on my basketball shoes. I don't freak out. I just, I have cool basketball shoes, but I don't freak out or nothing. I buy LeBron's and they can be like $250 or something like that. I buy those. I've had all the Kyries. I got all the KDs. I got all the Hardens, but none of them are over that I have are over $3. None of them. But Kobe's, you got Kobe shoes that are thousands. And then you got ones that are $700, $800, $500. I mean, you guys are $350 is like the starting point. But they're badass. They're so nice. Like, here's the deal. I won't even wear them. I'll buy them and I'll keep them. And I'll never wear them. Mafia said he's going to put them in my casket when I'm dead. All my shoes I never wore. On a bench with you. So Hornets up 4 on the Suns with 32 seconds left in a timeout. So how about Charlotte out in the valley trying to get it on with the Suns and steal one in the desert? That's all happening. Jazz 63-47 on the Lakers right now at the start of the third. And by the way, we were talking about LeBron being on every games on national television every night, always as it is. I just saw as I was in the break that the Nets are going to be on, I think, 20 times on national TV in the second half. So they're going to cram Harden, Kyrie, and Durant down your throat, East Coast. West Coast are going to slam the Lakers down your throat. So Donovan Lewis is our buddy on the ticket in Dallas. We like to get him on the bench once in a while. Donovan, I hope you're doing well, buddy. You guys surviving down there in that chaos that happened in Texas?
Yeah, last week may have been the most chaotic week of my life, man. No rolling blackouts my way. We had out electricity for probably about 18 hours straight, and then it came back on for 15 minutes, and it was out for another 6 or 7 hours. But, well, we made it. We survived down here. We're kind of tough down here, Scott.
When it went out, and like, I mean, let's face it, I've been through everything, hurricanes, storms, you name it, Sandy, right. All of it. I have to say, when it goes out, and then like whether you are running a generator or not, and then it comes back on for like you said, just like for 15 minutes, and it teased everybody, and then it went out again for hours at a time. that feeling in that window of when it came on and then went back off, that feeling is indescribable. How bad was that point? Because when it went on and went off, I bet the like my temperature would have gone Bob Knight through the roof. I would have been angry.
Yeah, you know, we tried to prepare ourselves every time the power came on to do something around the house, like, you know, maybe take a quick shower, maybe cook some food on the stove to have for later, because everything we have is electric. But that 15-minute spurt that we had the one time, yes, it was probably one of the most disappointing feelings ever. But when the power came back on, it felt like a hockey goal, you know, kind of all of a sudden, like your both arms go up and you celebrate and then you run around and you try to get something done before it pops back off. So it was a wild week, man. It kind of toughened us up around here.
Because I've had a number of these instances, and so I'm always fascinated by people that have to go through it. Because if you've been through it, it's very unnerving. So when you did you have this experience? I'm just asking. So when you when you have no power, you find out how much you really love someone, because you know what I mean? Like your family.
Oh, no doubt.
Now there's no electronics. There's no TVs. There's no video games. There's no PS5. There's no cell phones. There's no cable. There's no lights. There's nothing. You got like candles burning and a fireplace maybe or something. And then you're like little house on the prairie, Donovan. And you have to like, and then you have to have conversations with people. And I'm not talking about for 5 minutes having a cup of coffee. I'm talking about for 15 to 20 hours, you got to talk to people and you find out what you're made of. I mean, honestly.
You really do.
What happened?
That's the truth. It's I don't have any kids. It's just my wife and I. So we just we kind of sat one on one couch, one on the other, and we talk every now and then and then fall asleep. I tell you what, though, Scott, it was probably some of the best sleep I ever had, because we were falling asleep around 8:30 because we ran out of things to talk about and we had nothing to look at. So it's like, okay, let's just fall asleep. So got a little rest wrapped up in a comforter on the couch like a burrito, but we made it.
Was it hard? Not like when you ran out of shack to say to your wife, Donovan, at what point did you almost break?
No, we've been married for a while now, almost 25 years. So it's like, okay, we're good. We've been in a car before where we haven't said a word during a road trip and everything is a-okay. So I can see people in new relationships thinking they have to say something to each other all the time. We're old school. We can sit around each other and not say a word for 4 or 5 hours and be absolutely okay. So we're good.
That's what I like about you, Donovan. You got it all. I'll tell you what. I hope everything's back to normal. Godspeed to everybody down there. And I care. I mean, I like it down there. I was just talking to a guy tonight about the taxes down there. And I was talking about, we were talking about the deal, the Tatis deal. We started talking about Clayton Kershaw, and we talked about how he's from Texas. He's from Dallas. And then we started talking about your no state tax and things of this nature. And I was talking about how cool it is down there. A lot of players have, you know, set up shop there, their businesses, their lives, whatever. That's what Kershaw does. So my question to him was, I said to him, like, Dak's going to make tons of money at some point, Donovan. He's going to get the money one way or the other. Tag him, he makes a ton of money. Sign him long term, makes tons of money. His numbers are indicative of a big, fat, filthy, rich deal. That's all there is to it, whether they like it or not. People that don't believe that he deserves this money are tripping. He's going to get the money. And then I want to know what it's like for him to have, like, if he lands that fat fish and he lives in Texas and doesn't have to pay those taxes, he's like, I mean, he's like your boy J.R. Ewing, Donovan. He's like, he'll have oil in his backyard, bro.
I know. It is amazing, because you would think that that would be more of a draw for athletes. And I think a lot of people are surprised when you have free agents that don't come to Texas or Dallas or the Mavericks or anything like that, when I think that would matter to a lot of people. So you mean to tell me I get to keep more of my money if I played in Texas rather than I lived somewhere else like California, okay, I'll take that. But
right. That
doesn't seem to be the case here. And that surprised all of us because that's one of the main factors we always talk about on the shows when you're thinking about free agents and deciding and you're getting a huge contract and no state tax should be an asterisk that you can put on there and would attract a lot of people. But it feels like that's just not the case.
Wow, I think it's really smart. I told him the story of a boss said to me once, you want a raise, move to Texas. And I was like, all right. Maybe I will. I was like, maybe I will. So when Mafia and I went down there, right, I think I probably told you this before, who knows. But when I was down there, I was like, it was like, because it reminded me of L.A. in a sense of how when I was driving at night, like I would leave the show at night in Los Angeles and drive to Huntington Beach and I'd, you know, I'd be doing 90. And then when I was in Dallas, we went to Jerry's World for the Spence fight with Garcia and we had this Jaguar and we were driving 100 miles an hour, but everybody else was driving a buck 20. I was like, oh my God, there's people passing me. And so like when you live down there, I'm not tripping, right? People really haul ass and they have these big ass freeways and people are just hauling ass and there's nobody doing anything about it. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy, especially down here. It's the tollway. It's the road where everyone kind of puts the pedal down to the floor. And yes, if you're going 80, 85, you better get out of the left lane because you're going to get passed. That is the tollway around here. It's pretty wide open, man. It's crazy. You know, like you're thinking you're booking. Okay, I'm doing 75. I'm going pretty good. That means I can get into the left lanes. And then you look in the rearview mirror and someone is bearing down on your ass so fast that you got to get all the way over to the right-hand lane to kind of calm yourself down and catch your breath a little bit. It's crazy.
So is it true that that they are actually thinking of, like, finding out what the trade market is for Zinger, that Porzingis would actually – are they giving up on this guy? Is that true?
Man, I don't think they're giving up on him. I don't think – I think – as aggressive as a GM that Donnie Nelson has been around here, that kicking the tires on a player doesn't necessarily mean that they want to get rid of him. Now, I will say to you that if you're kicking the tires on Luka, then yeah, you've been drinking or smoking way too much. But I don't think it's the fact that they've given up on him. I just think it's the fact that if someone calls and will say, hey, any interest in trading KP, you know, because his value is not as high as it has been before. He hasn't played well on the defensive end this year. So I know it came out like, oh my gosh, they want to trade him. I just don't think that's the case. And I don't think they want to get rid of him. I really want them to, I think they want him to figure out everything that's what's wrong for him to get healthy and to play like he played in the bubble before he got hurt. He was all bubble team just in the playoffs, you know, 4 or 5 months ago. He was really, really good on both ends of the floor. And I just think with the shortened offseason and him not being healthy, I think he rushed himself back to try to not miss too many more games because he's going to have this label as being a guy that's always hurt and never plays. And then you'll see the flashes of him playing well on the offensive end, playing well, but he is just not getting it done on the defensive end. And I don't want to use this as an excuse because I am a Mavericks homer. I love the team. This is my favorite sport, right. My favorite team, and a favorite sport.
Right.
But COVID hit them hard, real hard. And they had one game postponed, and it wasn't of their doing. It was because New Orleans had to go into the health and safety protocols. They had five guys at one time in their rotation out, and they still played on. So they're playing guys that had no business playing in the NBA, playing significant minutes for Dallas in that particular portion. A couple of guys now are actually in the G League still playing now. So I think they're going to – they haven't given up on him. He's going to stick around. I don't think they're going to trade him.
Donovan, let's hold on 1 second. I want to talk more about the Mavs and some other stuff going on in Dallas. We're talking to Donovan Lewis from The Ticket on a Bench.
As you continue listening to Sports Grid, ask yourself
and be honest.
Am I listening
enough?
Probably not.
16 hours a day.
That's all we ask. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
right, we're talking to my buddy Donovan Lewis from Dallas, from The Ticket. Great dude, and we always enjoy hooking up. And we've been talking about the Mavs. I agree with you. I like it as well. It's become my favorite, like, over time in life. You know, I play so much ball in my life, and then I watch so much ball, and I just can't get enough of it. Like, I've told people, I'll watch grade school kids play basketball. I'll watch everything. Right. I mean, I'll watch squirrels play basketball. I really will. I can't. And then you got the pleasure of watching. I got to be honest with you. Compare it for me. You tell me. You get to watch Doncic play every night. Whenever I watch him, it's just, he really is fun to watch. He's incredible. The way he uses his body, I think, because he's kind of Michelin man looking, but he uses his ass and his hips and his back and his arms and his length and his size and his weight, I think, better than anyone maybe I've seen in 20 years. The guy holds people off his body like Jager used to hold people off a puck at the end of his draw, at the end of his arm. He'd hold a puck out with his stick, and it'd be like 12 feet from where he was in the center of the universe. But my point is, when you watch your guy, what do you think it's like for us now watching Harden, Kyrie, and Durant? Now, Durant's been out, but when the three of them are together and they're playing on the same team, it's like a freak show. What do you think it's for me to watch that as I'm telling you what it's like to watch Luka?
I know, it's crazy just to have those guys together in Brooklyn, and you're thinking, okay, I know they're all professional, and they're especially Harden. He's on this mission to try to win a championship, and this is his best chance to win one. So I was wondering, how are they going to work together and get everything done? And they've kind of identified their roles here pretty early, well, way quicker than I thought they were. And it's pretty cool to kind of see those guys try to get it together. They'll shape it together, especially when those three guys get back together. And I think Brooklyn has a really good chance to battle Philadelphia in the East to see who's going to come out and try to play for the championship. It's really, you know what? I love watching greatness, and I do. And a lot of people kind of despise the super teams and thinking, oh, if, you know, trying to get, you know, three guys that talented together, then it's not fair. But when they're clicking on all cylinders and they get everything going, I just love to see that flow and see how they're going. So I'm interested to see, once they get into March and April, how Brooklyn is going to get everything going. And if they get into a groove, they are going to really be hard to beat.
So what do you think of your boy watching Luka every night in Dallas, like, chilling there, living there, and getting a taste of that?
I love the fact, and everything you described about Luka is 100% accurate, but the one thing I love about him is that at that young of an age, he's never in a rush. Never, ever. He's not built, his game is not built on speed, which is probably a good thing because he is a little doughy at times, and I don't know if he can pick up that much speed. But just even when he gets around the rim and everyone's around him, he takes his time and makes sure he gets the best shot he can get at that particular moment. And he makes the right basketball play a lot. I think a lot of people around here will love to see him even be a little more selfish as far as looking for scoring, him scoring a little bit more. But he makes the right basketball play pretty much every single time, getting his teammates involved. And just, I don't think I've ever seen anyone that young be that much in control of what they're doing pretty much at every single moment. It is a joy to see him this early in his career doing everything that he's doing. And I do believe that 1 year that he had with Dirk helped the transition out a lot, even though Dirk was at the back end of his career. Just seeing how Dirk commanded the locker room and what he did for the foreign-born player in the NBA, that 1 year transition that he had, I think, helped him a ton. So it is really cool to see him even doing, you know what? There's a compilation on Twitter, and it's about 2 minutes long, and it's showing all of the last-minute shots Luka's made in his career. And to see that, in you know, at the middle of his third year, to see all the last-minute shots he's had, it's crazy to see that compilation now, and that I've seen every single one of them live and in person, and I've stood up and screamed expletives every time those shots went in, every single time.
That's great. But, you know, there's no denying he's sick. I mean, he's just his game is so sick. But another guy, and it's so sick, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I mean, there's nothing else to say. He's such a badass that, like, I'm done. I'm done talking about it. But let me say, the dog, I love this dog, Brunson. He was that way.
Oh, my gosh.
In Philly, he was that way in Philly, right? And for Philadelphia, that kid was that kind of player then in college. He was rocking. He was absolutely rocking. And then now, suddenly, he's crept his game into the league, and now he's a dog. I mean, the guy's a savage. He's out there just scoring, driving, making plays, going at a different speed. He's rugged. I like his game. Boy, has he turned into a pro.
Yeah, and Carlisle is really tough on young point guards. Really, really tough, unless your name is Luka. Really tough. It's a lot of guys that have almost broken because Carlisle is really hard on them as far as the point guard position. And to be a second-round pick and to come in and play with the same kind of poise that Luka plays with. And, yeah, he's kind of short and squatty a little bit. He's built like a bowling ball, but he has a little wiggle to him. And he makes the right play also. And I think that's what it's all about. It's about getting to the basket. He can finish, and he is really shooting lights out this year also. So, yeah, he is a great addition to this team, and Carlisle loves him.
Yeah, I like watching him play. I think he's turning into a hell of a pro. Let me ask you about for a second. I want to ask about the Stars. They won tonight, a big win. I don't think anyone saw that coming. I know I lost money on that game because, I mean, let's face facts. They beat a team that's been playing great hockey, and then they hadn't won a game since February 2nd. It's like they'd been sleeping with the devil or something. Like they were not only were they not winning, but they were jinxed. They had the Black Cloud Diner over them. They had like 15 games postponed, canceled, COVID. People were sick. People sneezing on each other.
Weather.
And then they got their ass beat every night by bad teams. And everybody dove off on them like they faded on the Stars. And then tonight they, ripped everyone's tickets. But what's been the problem with them? Has it been all the chaos?
I don't think so. I think that for the last few years, and I think you'll know this also, Scott, that the Stars are kind of bipolar. Just think about what happened last year. They got off to a terrible start. Terrible. Then the coach is fired, and then they make this run to the Stanley Cup Finals that no one saw coming. So is this the outlier? I don't know. But I think they'll pick it up and start playing a little bit better. They're missing a couple of people. You know, COVID hit them also. But Hudobin the last couple of games has been so money. They just wasted the game before. And then he gets a shutout tonight. But I expect them to pick it up and start playing better. They're going to have to because I don't think the division is that strong. The Florida teams are really good. And if they can just get their act together and start playing a little decently, the only thing that saved them, Scott, was getting a point in some of those games. Yeah, they didn't win it, but they went it to overtime and they got a point in some of those. And that helped a ton. But I expect them to get their act together and maybe make a little late run when they get Bishop and Sagan back at the end of March and April, and if they squeeze into the playoffs, I think I can still see this team doing what they did last year and making a run, making a couple of teams nervous to try to make a run.
Listen to him, Mavia. They're going to go on another run. Here we go. Now, wait. You're right about the listen, you're tripping. So they did get the points on the Blackhawks Stars games. They both went to overtime. Then the shootout game with the Canes. So you're right. Those were crucial points they gained because their dates left them with their pants around their ankles. They were playing such bad hockey. I mean, they really were. So right. They got something out of it. And then they beat the Panthers, which I didn't see coming for a mile. But they play them again tomorrow night. So they're doing all that BS back-to-back and playing. And then a week from now, they probably play them in Dallas. I can't keep track of all these divisional games. I want to jump. Are the Rangers or anybody, are they going to suck this summer? Are they going to be any good?
Ooh, it's going to be so bad. they may be the worst team in baseball. That's what we're expecting around here. Yeah, I may be tripping about the Stars, but I'm not going to even dream about saying that they're going to have any type of success with the Rangers, man. That's not happening. They are totally breaking it down and starting over from scratch. They are going to be terrible.
maybe I should, I really, Mafia, we should move back to Dallas, and then maybe they'll give us maybe we could play for the Rangers. If they're that bad, I mean, we're pretty good. We'll play for them, and then I'll make all that money, and then we'll just pay no state tax. And then when the power goes out for 2 or 3 days, we'll find out if we love our wives and our families. And then you get
to
watch Luca.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, you drive 120, get out of the way, or get run over, and then you get to watch Luca have game winners once a week. It sounds like a perfect. It sounds like heaven. It sounds like heaven.
That's right.
And you know Kershaw's hiding all that money in. He's hiding that in like a hole in Texas in his backyard somewhere. I know he's got some kind of ranch. He probably buried all that money out there. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna move to Dallas. I'm gonna look for them. That money he buried. No, that's Kershaw right. buried
him
the money
Matt
up
Stafford,
there.
Him and Matt Stafford probably buried it right together in Highland Park or something like that. Probably did the same thing.
You know they did.
Come on to Texas, guys.
You know
we'll
they
welcome
did.
You. Yeah.
Hey. Listen, I love you. It's great catching up, Donovan. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother. Say hi to everybody in Dallas for me, and stay healthy with all the crap you got to deal with.
Thanks, man. It's really good talking to you, as always, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Donovan Lewis from The Ticket in Dallas. Always fun to hook up with him. Mafia, what do you think? Should we move to Dallas? Remember when the boss told me that? Do you remember when he said, you want a raise? Move to Texas.
Yeah, every time it was like when he won the one race, like, get rid of your agent. Then you'll get another, 15% off that. And then, the second time, move to Texas. Like, anything they could do to get you to do something else than ask for money from them. Any way you can make
tonight
money that didn't involve them giving it to you.
Tonight was the tax show. How about 37.5% plus 12% in New York because we're in New York City doing the show, right? Getting paid. Right. So let's see. Now you're at 49. You're at 49 already. And then you got to pay the agent 10. Now you're at 59. 59% of your paycheck. That's the same as Canada. That's the same as Ontario. 59%. They're 52%. What's the difference? Oh, no. And health insurance. Now I'm up to 70% of my checks gone. I get 30% of it. I get nothing. I can't even get dog food. Living in New York City, by the time they suck the money out of me, these rat bees. All right, so how about the game that just ended? Coyotes in a shootout, 4-3 over the Ducks. Wild beat the Avs in the Mile High City at the Pepsi Can, 6-2. Kicked their ass. Leafs 2-1 over the Flames. Flyers 4-3 over the Rangers. Stars blanked the Panthers. We were talking about it with Donovan. Lightning 3-0 over the Canes. The Kings are up 2-0. 3 minutes left in St. Louis on the Blues, and they're looking for their sixth straight win. The Lakers are getting their ass beat in Salt Lake. Shakers, Jazz up 90-64 after three. 90-64, a beatdown. Heat all over the Raptors, 116-108. Warriors won in Indy by four. Hawks blew out the Celtics. Cavs blew out the Rockets. And then in overtime, Bulls by 7 over the T-Wolves. Pelicans by 10 over the Pistons. I had that number at 10 with the Pistons. Push that Thunder ahead over the Spurs, 102-99. They get it done last second. Three wins it, and then the Hornets beat the Suns in the desert. A huge win there, 124-121. That's crazy. I just have to see what your boy did. LaMelo, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 8 dimes, 3 threes, 7 for 11 from the floor. Strong effort there. LaMelo getting involved. Tomorrow, Mavs and Sixers, they're in Philly. The Nets host the Magic. Kings, Knicks at the Garden. Clippers, Grizzlies, Wizards, Nuggets, and the Pelicans are at the Bucks. In Indiana, I told you, Mavi, they got their ass spanked tonight at the rack by Rutgers. They suck. I can't even deal with them. UNLV trailing Fresno right now, 32-30. First half, under a minute to go. Florida State ended up blowing out Miami, 88-71. How about Marquette wins at North Carolina by 13? That's embarrassing. See you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.